When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The 80s Glam Model Cast revisits 1988 Top 10 Hair Model Album.
All right, Ryan, welcome to the show, buddy. 1988 Revisited Hair Model Edition. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm so ready for this.
This is great, man. You know, I feel like with the years of a hair model, it just every year it just keeps getting bigger, more intense, more releases. What do you think?
Yeah, man. I believe in the 1987 episode, we were talking about the comparisons with like the 2000s episodes, and we said, man, we could do a top 15 in 1987, no problem, versus, you know, the decade long of 2011 to 21 or whatever. And this is the same, man. This is like endless. You could just go on and on with these. So I will have no problem. The only problem I will have is narrowing it down to 10.
That's what I had, too. I had a pretty big list. I tried to skip out on certain ones that I did the last time I did 1988 and just tried to go with some different ones that I really wanted to showcase. I got a couple duplicates. There's some I just can't get rid of. But one thing, man, everybody knows I always put sound bites and interview clips in with our podcast. And when I went through, man, I think the rite of passage for 1988 is you had to be on Headbangers Ball and interview with Adam Curry.
Put your headgear on, because the boot be hanging on the Headbangers Ball.
What do you think?
Oh, yeah, man. It seems like they all didn't. And either they made it, they didn't, they were the stars for years and years, or that was their one moment of stardom. Because, dude, there's some random Headbangers Ball Adam Curry interviews out there where you go, damn, for a minute there, they almost made it.
And I do think this is that time where the formula is in full effect. You know, first single is a rocker. Maybe the second single is a rocker. Win big, mama's falling danger. Two or three, you got to have the power ballad. Every rose has its thorn. But I think the formula was just rocking at this point.
Oh, totally, dude. The recipe was set by a lot of these bands, like we talked about, and that formula was there. Hey, it worked.
You know, and what's weird is just me saying that. When I look at my list, like when I'm looking at the ones toward the bottom that didn't make it as big, and then I look at the ones toward the top, all the ones at the top had a power ballad. So the power ballad, baby, it's a thing.
Oh, yeah, it is a thing, and it worked. I mean, we got two episodes out of that, 15 each, so yeah, it worked.
We're such freaks, we could probably get two or three episodes out of any topic.
Yeah, we sure could.
All right, brother, let's jump right in. What's your number 10?
Cool. Hi, I'm Steve Whiteman.
I'm Brian Damage.
And we're from Kick. Tonight, you'll see the world premiere of our brand new video, Blow My Fuse.
Well, this is one consistent band. I got for number 10, Kix doing Blow My Fuse.
Nice.
And it's probably my go-to Kix album. I got Midnight Dynamite first and loved it, so I naturally had to get everything else they put out. I got this one next. And just going down the track list, I got to say there's maybe like one song that I don't really care for, and it happens to be the hit. It's Don't Close Your Eyes, and it's just never really done it for me. I know the story behind it. The album wasn't doing much. And then their producer or manager decided that he would talk the record company into putting that out. And bam, it got huge. And next thing you know, it went platinum. They were opening for AC/DC on the Blow Up Your Video Tour. All that good stuff. So it was a blessing for this band. It's just never clicked with me. There's another one on this list the same way, but I know I'm in the minority. But anyway, killer voice, killer guitar. The whole like AC/DC clone thing is here. Obviously, those guitars pretty much try to emulate Angus, but it's not as apparent. And there's a little bit more 80s touch going on, which is really good for Kicks. So, I mean, great straight ahead rock. Standouts are Get It While It's Hot, Cold Blood, Blow My Fuse, and Piece of the Pie. Just a great kickoff to this list in 88.
I'm so glad you had this one on your list. I had it as an honorable. Actually, it might have been on my list, and then something else came in and I got booted. But agree with everything you're saying. This is the only Kicks album that I like. I don't like Midnight Dynamite. I'm starting to come around to Hotwire a little bit, but for the most part, this was the only one that I ever really liked. And I think the reason is like what you said, they were trying to maybe fit in a little bit more than they ever had before. You know what I mean?
And
it's obvious. And no matter what, man, there's a lot of bands that try to fit in and it doesn't work, but it works. And like you said, every song is really good. Like I can go through this, you know, Get It While It's Hot, Red Light, Green Light, TNT, Cold Blood. I mean, I could just rattle them. I don't have any of this shit written down. This is just top of my head. Songs, Blow My Fuse, you know, the song, the title track. So I love this album, and I'm so glad you put it on there, man. Great choice.
Awesome. Cool, man.
All right. Number 10. This was one where it was a little higher, and then it came down, and it's been all over the place, but I didn't get to talk about it last time.
He also has a twin brother.
I have a brother?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Born to be bad.
And Danny DeVito.
Way to go, Mom.
Are twins.
My name is Julius. I'm your twin brother.
It's Rock's Game, Things You've Never Done Before, man.
Oh, yeah.
A very cool band, cool album. Never really did much after this one, and I've spoke with Kevin Steele. He was a pretty cool, outspoken guy to have on the podcast. But this is really cool, man. I kind of liken it to if you took the New York Dolls and you infuse them with some 80s metal, you know, between the look and the sound, you're going to get Rock's Gang. Rock's Gang is a little bit punky and kind of like, I don't know, rebellious at times, you know, like too cool for school. Like it's rebellious, but it's kind of goofy, you know what I mean? A lot of cool stuff. But my favorite song by them is always going to be No Easy Way Out. I love that song. It's just the coolest song. It has that kind of eerie riff. It almost sounds like Danzig, Twist of Cain a little bit. It's just kind of sleazy and dark sounding, that whole song. I love it. And you got to go back and check out Red Rose. Very uncharacteristic of the whole album. It sounds like old blues man music. They kind of repeat and chant things after he says it. Very cool. Racing with the Devil. It's just a lot of cool, fun, just fun tracks, man. It's a fun album. His voice, like, it's take it or leave it. He's not the world's greatest singer, but it fits the music really well. He's like one of those attitude singers. Like, he's got a lot of attitude, but I love it, man. It's a great album.
Totally, dude. Yeah, I got this when I first got into all this whole scene, and I expected a different sound after seeing the album cover. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, it was, I thought it was going to be another Shotgun Messiah or something like that. And I like it. And then recently, you had mentioned No Easy Way Out when we were talking about, I think, maybe the Catchy, Big Happy Catchy Volume 2, something like that. I think you dropped the name of this song. And I went back and checked it out, and damn, you're right, dude. That's a really catchy, cool song. So I kind of re-engaged in this band due to that song.
Nice. Okay, number 9.
All right, so here's where I got a band called Shout, and the singer is Ken Tamplin. So the album is called In Your Face, and I've been wanting to talk about Shout on the podcast for a long time because they make consistent, huge 80s happy, catchy, huge albums, and they're lumped into the Christian category, which they're pretty strong in their Christian lyrics, but you can't, they're kind of sneaky. But anyway, this album, don't be fooled, it is from 88. I was researching it, and I think Spotify may have it as 88, but Wikipedia's got it at 89, and Heavy Harmony's at 89, but I wanted to put it on there, so I went and I looked at my actual original CD.
CD ain't gonna lie to you, man. That's the gospel.
That's right. The CD ain't gonna lie. And then I went on to Ken Tamplin's website, and bingo, 88. So, like I said, it's called In Your Face. Check out the song Borderline, When the Love Is Gone, Humongous Chorus, and give me an answer. Ken Tamplin releases hit after hit, huge, huge songs. His solo albums in this genre are really cool too, and they don't waver in any of their releases. Really talented guy. He plays guitar and sings. There is a Coverdale resemblance, which I'm sure people will pick up on if you don't know them, but he's out there still. He's doing singing lessons on YouTube and whatever, and he nails every song and band you could think of, from Def Leppard to AC/DC to, you know, R&B stuff. So, but this is great. Their first two albums, 86 and 88, are just awesome. So if you don't know Shout, please check this band out.
Well, three things, quick things. Number one, not familiar with these guys, but I want to get familiar with them. That's number one. Number two, awesome. You can't go by Spotify. Spotify is complete shit with the dates lately. Almost every one that I went, because I went back and I was listening to some of these 88 selections, almost every album that is 88, they've got as 87. They've got Long Cold Winter as 87. They've got, so you know, I just revealed one that's on my list, but they've got stuff that you'd be like, what? There's no way. And number three, I give Ted a lot of credit, because that's how I actually know of him, because he has reinvented himself as a YouTube star. So I know he's probably making buku bucks of doing YouTube videos. So good on him, man. You got to reinvent yourself.
Yeah, good.
Because I don't think being in a hair metal band today for the most part is going to bring you a ton of money. So if you
can,
you know, be a vocal coach and doing covers, all that kind of stuff, you know, good on you.
Very good.
All right. Number nine. This is another one I didn't get to talk about in my original 1988 episode. This all seems too crazy. Is it real? I'll think about tomorrow. And I'm going with Going Down Over the Edge. Hurricane. The Hurricane's a band that always comes up. We love talking about Hurricane. And I think this is a great album. One thing we just mentioned, the power ballad. This is where Hurricane kind of failed. And I don't know who failed them, if it was the producer or if it was the record label or if it was just them themselves. They didn't have a power ballad on this album, and they really needed one. Honestly, you can't really blame the label on the promotion standpoint, because I'm On to You was all over the place.
Video, why don't you introduce it, because we're getting ready to play the new video from Hurricane, matter of fact.
This is a video, and the song is called I'm On to You.
Sing na, 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 na. I'm On to You. And it was on MTV. It was on radio. I think the problem was they didn't have a great follow-up to go after that. That's where you probably needed that ballad song to kind of push this thing over the edge. No pun intended. And you can't, like, really, you can't blame Enigma, because if you look at two other bands that got really big off Enigma, that was Poison and Striper. So those guys followed the formula, were very successful being part of the Enigma family. So not really sure what happened with Hurricane. I guess at the end of the day, Kelly Hansen ended up in Foreigner, man. It all worked out for him, you know. Maybe he just needed different songs or more commercial songs that would fit his voice better. But the band is a band of talent. Robert Sarzo, Tony Cavazzo, and Jay Schillen, all great musicians, great songs, great band. Doesn't get enough credit, but I think, like I said, the one thing I would point to is that they didn't have the ballad, didn't have that right second single to push this album where it needed to be to like a gold or platinum status. But that's where I got Hurricane, man, number nine.
So, okay, what do you think if I said, if they would have released more of a straight-ahead rocker like Slave to Thrill in 88, do you think it would have garnered them more success? I know you're not a huge fan of that album, but do you think success career-wise it would have behooved them to release an album like that?
It's possible. It's very possible, because you are hitting on something that makes a lot of sense that I should have mentioned as well, is that there's a lot of straightforward stuff, like I'm On to You and We Are Strong and Shout and all that kind of stuff. Those songs are pretty straightforward. But then you get in some kind of oddball songs, like Give Me an Inch and some of this.
Yeah.
Even Messing with a Hurricane has a kind of a weird verse that doesn't really kind of correspond with what's going on in the chorus. So I think they were a little weird for their own good. When I interviewed Robert Sarzo, he always said, I wanted more aggressive stuff. So I just don't know if they really had that pop metal sensibility, but where they did a little bit more on Slave to the Thrill. So it's possible. It's very possible. But I do think when I listen to Slave to the Thrill, it does scream 1990. So I don't know how it would have done in 88 because it sounds exactly like the style that Stryper went for with Against the Law and a lot of other stuff that was out. That was that direction that bands were going at that point. But you're hitting a good point. At least it brings out the point that they were a little bit odd sometimes, maybe too odd for the average hair metal fan.
You know, a weird comparison is Give Me an Inch has always been my Too Fast for Love. And I'll tell you why. The verse is weird, just like Too Fast for Love.
Yeah.
And then you get to this really catchy, awesome chorus.
Yeah.
Too Fast for Love, the chorus, is nothing like the verse, like Give Me an Inch. And Give Me an Inch is one of my favorite songs on this album because of the chorus. But the verse and the intro, very strange.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
Yeah. What I always say is that, like, for Give Me an Inch, for the whole song, they took, like, elements of Duran Duran, Yes, the band Yes, and then mixed it with Hurricane, and that's what you got. And it's kind of cool. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with being creative, but maybe Hurricane, for doing that kind of stuff, if they would have stuck together, that would have been like their 91 album or something like that. You know what I mean? Your 88. You just had to be a little bit more straightforward. But it's a cool album. People love Hurricane, and I was glad that I could discuss them with you on this one. So.
Of course, I'm an excellent driver. He lets me drive slow on the driveway. Of course, it's only 28 miles on the odometer since I drove it a week ago last Saturday. It should be more than 28 miles.
What is this? Who is this guy?
Raymond is your brother.
My brother? I don't have a brother.
Number 8.
So here's one that was on the original list, which I only have a few, but...
Let's take a look at that time of year, Vinnie Vincent's Invasion in stereo.
It's in my heart. It really is what drives me every second of my life, you know. I mean, I'm a guitarist. Songs come easy to me. They always have. I mean, it's a vehicle for my guitar playing. And putting a band together is my ultimate satisfaction.
Vinnie Vincent, All Systems Go.
Woo!
And, dude, this one is so freaking killer. Like, you just can't deny it. Mark Slaughter, I think he does a great job. What a cool return after the epic debut. I love them both. I can't decide which I prefer, to be honest, even though I'm an enormous Slaughter fan. I really like the first album, and I love the voice there, too. So, you know what? I like them both. That's how I'm going to leave it. in terms of the some of the choices, if you're gonna put it on the list, you got to talk about Naughty Naughty and Heavy Petting. I mean, those two songs alone, I could have just said, okay, that's it. This is on my list with those two alone. They're so great. They showcase Mark's voice and the guitar really, really well. So I'd say the creativity isn't quite as strong on this album as the first album, but this is equally consistent. It's a little less glam, but still glam. It's funny to say, like, if you look at the lineup and the pictures of All Systems Go, and you're like, well, that's not as glam as the first one. They're like, Jesus, how glam were they in 86? You know?
Yeah.
So, but it's still glam. Anyway, I think Slaughter carried on the momentum of this album and when he formed his own band. And, dude, really consistent stuff. Love it.
Yeah, I mean, it was on my original list. It would be an honorable one on this one. It's not that I don't like it any less, but I just kind of constructed a different kind of list for this one. I could sit and talk all day about Vinnie Vincent Invasion, especially this album. I really like it. A couple points I just want to make. I think the big problem with Vinnie Vincent Invasion is that it's called Vinnie Vincent Invasion, right? It's that classic thing. This guy thinks more of himself than is really there. I hate to say that because I get he was in Kiss, but what was he in Kiss for, like, a week? No, you know what I mean? He wasn't in Kiss that long. You know what I mean? You know, he was there a couple years, but for the most part, he was not in Kiss all that long. And to put his name on it, it's not as marketable. It just should have been called something else. I try to envision, like, what could it have been if it was, like, something like just a band, like the way Slaughter was, but with Vinnie Vincent. Because Vinnie Vincent could bring in better songwriting, I think. Although, don't get me wrong, Stick It To You is probably better than...
All Systems Go?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Stick It To You is probably an overall better album, and people can relate to it more, so it kind of appealed to the mainstream. There's something odd about Vinnie Vincent's music, you know what I mean? Like, there's a whole weird vibe with that whole album. Listen to something like Ecstasy. It's cool, but you know what I mean? It's kind of, it's got like a, there's like 70s vibes and weird cosmic vibes. It's just different production and stuff that's just a little bit odd, but it's great. I mean, I love it. That Time of Year is an amazing song. Love Kills, Let Freedom Rock, and Ashes to Ashes. Those are a couple ones that we didn't mention, but just... banger songs, man. He's a great songwriter. I just think he's too full of himself, of like with his name. It's like an Yngwie syndrome and all that nonsense shredding. He did shed some of that. I feel like there's less of it on this album. There's a lot more melodic solos on this album. But for the most part, he does kind of do some weird guitar wanking that's unnecessary. So I think if he would have complimented the songs better with his guitar playing and keep his name off of it, maybe just call it Invasion. I don't know. But those are my critiques. And maybe I'm right, because they never made it big. They never made it big, man, and Slaughter did. So who knows? But Vinnie Vincent's a great talent. And the sad thing was, for Slaughter and Vinnie Vincent, we'd never really got any more. You know what I mean? Like, Vinnie Vincent was like...
Oh, totally.
Like, for big releases. I mean, granted, he put out some EPs and some demo shit. This was it, you know? And Slaughter, we've said it a million times, no offense to Slaughter, at least for my ears... Stick It To You, and then it's a massive drop off after that. So it's too bad. I think if they would have all stuck together and combined all their talent, they maybe could have really had a powerful band that could have lasted a long time. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and then obviously we won't be able to appreciate it at the touch of a button on our phones anymore, because it's not on Spotify. Removed.
It was taken off Spotify. You didn't know it was on Spotify. Spotify would say it came out in 87.
Exactly.
Everything's 87. Okay. My number 8. Another great band. Great album. Debut album.
Rocking with the Headbangers Ball. Adam Curry here, and as promised, with me from LA Guns, we have Steve and Kelly. Hi, guys.
Hi.
What's the smoke screen you're creating here in the studio? Hey, you guys got a new video out?
LA Guns, man, it's great stuff. And you know, it's just one of those albums where I feel like it's like that tragic LA stories. I feel like every song, One Way Ticket, One More Reason, you know, they're just kind of somber tracks, man. Phil Lewis is just an original. I love his voice, and there's nobody that sounds like him. Nobody can sound like him. He's just awesome, and he makes that band. Now, for that album, like when I interviewed him, he said that stuff was all done, and it had different words and melodies from their original singer. And he said it was like all mumbly, and it just wasn't that great. So he just kind of went through and redid it. And he didn't really feel like an official member of the band yet until they got to like Cocked and Loaded. But when you listen to this stuff, man, you would never know, you know. And you know, we talked about like we were having some conversations about like maybe doing like a sleazy list, you know. This has to be on there, you know what I mean? This is as sleazy as it gets, and it's just got like that dark vibe. It's just a little different. It's kind of the way, I know neither of us are huge into Guns N' Roses.
The most important rock and roll band of 1988 was Guns N' Roses.
And I think LA Guns, because of Tracy Guns and everything like that, has it as well. But just a great album, man. And you know, how cool are Tracy Guns and Kelly Nichols and you know, Steve Riley. I don't think he played on this, but he was a big part of it. Mick Cripps. Cool lineup, man. Great band.
I don't know why I didn't put it on this list. I think it's because I was going to save it if we did a sleaze episode.
Yeah.
But, I mean, between the first two, I know them through and through so well, and I love them so much. And I'm just looking at the track list now, and it's another one where you just don't turn it off. You just let it play.
Every song.
And Phil's got one of, every song's killer. And then you got, Phil's got a voice, like I said before, like a Janie Lane or Johnny Gioli or something like that, where you're like, dude, like, if anybody, like, doesn't like this guy's voice, they're on crack, because it's just perfect. Like, there's nothing wrong with it, dude.
Nope.
Like, I love it. So they're hard, they're killer, they're like of the times, they're struggling LA band. They're dark. They're just killer, dude. Like, they really walked the line between sleaze and straight up hard rock, and they did a great job of it.
Yeah, and one song I just have to mention, it's this is my MVP song off the album, is No Mercy. It's just amazing.
Dude, killer. it's killer.
It's a hard rocker show opener type song. Love it.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, I saw these guys in, like, shit, it must have been like 2000 or something like that. I can't remember. It was early 2000s. And they played the tiniest, tiniest little club in San Francisco. And they, their tour bus was an old, like, Winnebago RV thing. Mm-hmm. Dude, it was sad, dude. Like, they, you know, for like a 19-year-old kid at the time or whatever I was, like, even I was tripping. Like, dude, this is how you're getting around, all you fellas are sleeping on this thing. And they played to a club that was, we probably had 100 people in there.
Wow.
You know what I mean? But they played their asses off, and they were so cool. And Phil gave us the set list, and they all signed it, dude. It was such a cool thing. So
that's awesome.
They are showmen, and they're good dudes.
Awesome, man. Great story. Yeah. Hey, fellas, a quick heads up from the grooming front line. Shaving your jewels doesn't have to be a risky business anymore. Thanks to our friends at Manscaped and their Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, you can forget about nicking your bits. This trimmer is all about keeping your things smooth and safe, and you can trim with confidence. Fancy a stress-free shave and some savings? Head over to manscaped.com and snag a 20% off code with free shipping with the code METALBALLS. With Manscaped, it's easy grooming, no surprises.
Well, I'll tell you what, after receiving that great promo pack that Manscaped shipped me, man, I'm known around the firehouse as the guy who really likes to trim himself up. And now I got my balls to the wall because you know what? It has highly, highly improved my grooming experience.
Metal balls. Every dude gets the heebie-jeebies when it's time for a close shave down under, brother, but when you're using the wrong tools, that's when you got a problem. That's why Manscaped is the go-to for those delicate spots. Let me tell you, Ryan, I'm like hair of the dog, man. I got hair popping out in places that I don't want it, and I can't get it popping up on the top of my head where I do want it. And these tools have been great for me, man, especially like trimming the ears, trimming the nose. As you get older, that stuff gets a little out of control. And the weed whacker, man, that's gold for something like that.
You know, on this show, we're big fans of TNT, where everyone's a star. And I'll tell you what the true star is, Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. This fifth generation trimmer features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade for you. Go smooth wherever your heart desires.
Metal balls! With dual LED spotlights, you'll achieve better visibility, making every trim more precise and hassle-free. Are you going under the blade? Are you worried about making a mess? Well, this bad boy's waterproof, man. You can shave in the shower, in the bath, or in the friggin' ocean!
I love this thing because it comes with a compact case. I take it with me wherever I go. Trust me, this trimmer will be your crown jewel's new best buddy.
Or family jewels.
That's right.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code METALBALLS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off, free shipping with the code METALBALLS at manscaped.com. Show your balls some love and feel free as a dove. All right. Yeah. Number 7.
Seven, here's where I got Europe out of this world. So right off the bat, I'm going to start with this small negative, and I'm going to pump it up and say I'm not a big fan of Superstitious.
No.
That's just, I don't know if I care for the really trying too hard opening, just vocals. You know, when it kicks in, it's okay, but I just don't love it. Anyway.
I'm going to say real quick, it's grown on me. Like, when that was the first single when that album came out in 88, and I heard it, and I was like,
yeah.
No, I don't think so. But I got to admit, I like it better now, but I've never been one of my favorites, no.
Yeah, to open it and to have that first, as the first single, it's kind of like Women for Def Leppard. It's like, yeah. No, dude, you have so many others to choose from. Like, it's good, but it's not, but it's good, but it's not.
No.
Anyway, Let the Good Times Rock, Ready or Not, and It's Just the Beginning. Those are like my choice songs.
Yep.
And then those are just the standouts. Open Your Heart is a great, great remake of an early Europe song. They kind of beefed it up for 88. But when I look at the track list now, I'm pretty much down for every single song, maybe shy of superstitious, but there's definitely some absolute classics here, and really strong follow-up to the Final Countdown, and I feel like they did make that crucial error in not remaining on the Hysteria tour, and they only toured the United States for just a minute with Def Leppard, and I think that's what kind of killed this album. They just didn't tour very much here in the States, and I don't know the exact story behind it, but it might have stopped the momentum, but they look great. The videos are cool for this album, and it's, you know, between this and Prisoners, it's a really cool look for Europe, and they're peaking.
You know, I may talk about this. I might not. We don't know. But one thing I'm going to say, what I think about this album, and what may have not made it as big as its the album that was prior, I think that it's a better album than the Final Countdown. But I think the Final Countdown has better singles. I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and I want to think about the touring thing. I mean, look at like Tesla jumped on the tour with Def Leppard, and Tesla blew up.
That's true.
You know, like I don't know. And also, there's on each Europe album, I feel like they have one kind of like real rocker, like a hard one, like kind of harking back. Like the Final Countdown had. Which one is Heart of Stone or no? On the Loose.
Yeah,
On the Loose was kind of like the harder one, and this one's got Ready or Not. You know, like they had like, okay, we're gonna kind of like really beef it up for one song, and they did a really good job of it. So anyway, that was kind of random, but there's a couple back to back that they were kind of cool that way.
Yeah, and I don't think Open Your Heart is like a true ballad where Carrie is a full-on ballad. You know what I mean? So I think it could be, you know, hey, we're seeing trends, man. I'm telling you, we're going through all of it. You're going to notice the ones that don't have that true straight-up power ballad are just not going to be as big as the other albums. So just the way it is.
Totally.
All right, number 7.
Hi, I'm Tom, lead singer and guitarist for Cinderella.
Hi, I'm Jeff. I play guitar and try to sing for Cinderella.
I'm Fred, and I play drums.
And I'm Eric, I'm the bass player.
Cinderella, long cold winter, man. It's undeniable. A lot of people look at it as one of their best. I mean, a lot of people love Night Song. But I think this is probably like that natural progression. This is maybe the place where they should have stayed, because a lot of people will say, like, once you get to Heartbreak Station, we've gone a little too far into the 70s Southern rock blues thing or whatever, you know. So this is a nice space that they're in. You know, a lot of people, I've been getting comments and people say, they're not glam. They're musically not glam. And I kind of agree with them in a lot of ways. They were a little bit heavier than most glam bands on Night Songs, and they're a lot bluesier than most glam bands on this album. And I think at the end of the day, Tom Kiefer is just a super talent. And he's just a great songwriter. Listen to Coming Home. That could be done by anyone. That's not necessarily like a 80s glam song. You know what I mean? That's a song that you could give to Bruce Springsteen or somebody. You know what I mean? It's just a great song.
Totally.
When you watch them play that song in front of the Moscow audience, it's like, man, there's some emotion here. This isn't just about your typical, you know, crap that 80s bands sing about. This is pretty emotional. It's a good song. And to kick it off the way they do and get into Falling Apart at the Seams and everything, that's killer, the way that's done. Gypsy Road's a great single. Oh, they had a monster, monster, monster ballad, Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone. Last Smile kicks ass. But you can listen to every song. If you don't like it, I don't care. Fire and Ice. There's really not a bad song on this album. And just a talented band, even beyond Tom Kiefer. Jeff, Eric Brittingham, and Fred Corey, just talented guys, except Fred Corey didn't play on the album. Coatsy Paolo did, so I don't know if people know that or not. But Fred didn't play on an album until Heartbreak Station. So, but great album, great time for the band. I saw him on this tour with Winger and Bullet Boys. Just a great time, great talent, and that's where I got it, man, number 7.
That's pretty cool, dude. I did put it on my honorables because I felt like the writing was on the wall for the direction they went on in Heartbreak Station. And it's not there yet, because Heartbreak I don't listen to, but this one I do still.
Yeah.
You know, to kick it off, Falling Apart at the Seams is killer. Gypsy Road is another one of those where it's the single, it's the hit, and you don't turn it off.
Nope.
It's too killer. But I will say, if you don't like it, it's probably my favorite song on the album.
Cool.
And it's doing that Back in Black thing where he's almost like rapping. Like you could almost do like put rap music to Back in Black, and if you don't like it, he just never takes a breath. It's killer. I love how he does that.
Yeah, that is cool.
And that song I crank first and foremost every time. It's kind of like push off night songs for me. It's like an album track, never was a single, but I probably play it first every time.
Morning, boys and girls.
Say hello to our good friend Billy Baloney. Hello, Billy.
Would you like to say hello to the boys and girls?
Yes, I would.
Alright, so for number 6, I got my boys in House of Lords on their self-titled album.
Nice.
I had to bring them back, man. I can't stop talking about House of Lords. Anyway, we got that classy, polished, mature AOR with that perfect melodic rock. The song I Just Want to Be Loved, again, could have been the only song on this album, and I probably would have still put it on here. The first three House of Lords albums really never get old for me, and I listen to everything they do on the first three and all the James Christian solo albums and everything he puts his voice to in the heyday. So anyway, if you want to check out more of House of Lords, you can check out Call My Name and Looking for Strange on this album, but it's great stuff. Another Gene Simmons band that for some reason never really took off. I'm not sure why, because they pretty much had every ingredient they needed to be humongous. They're fairly well known, but they weren't platinum, that's for sure. So I don't know. What are your two cents on why they didn't take off?
Simmons Records, man. It's a cursed record label. But I thought I Just Want to Be Loved had all the elements. I don't know why that didn't get huge, but who knows?
I know, dude. That song is so killer, the way it kicks off, like all at once. Yeah, immediate guitar solo over the top, kind of deep, dark vocals that kick in. I don't know, man. This whole album's great. I believe Sahara's stronger. Demons Down is great. Sahara's probably my first of the three in terms of choice. But, yeah, dude, what a cool album this is.
And they had all the classy
works.
I think I know what it is. I think it's because Paul Stanley didn't want Gene Simmons focusing on anything but Kiss, right? So then Paul must have paid off MTV and the radio stations not to play the bands that Gene put out. I think Paul sabotaged all these bands. Who's with me? Who's with
me? I think we got to do a Conspiracy Theories 2 episode now.
But no, it's weird. But I'm telling you, you go through all of them, man. Keel, EZO, it's just what was the other one? Silent Rage. It's a tragedy because they're all great bands. All great bands.
Dude, yeah. Oh, I forgot about EZO. They're killer too. Maybe they got some in 88.
All right, number 6. Brittany Fox. What can I say, man? You know, I love Brittany Fox, and what's strange is I must like Brittany Fox better than Cinderella, because I got them just one step ahead. You know, we got some Cinderella alumni in there, Michael Kelly Smith, and it's a great album, man. It is a great album. Some of the lyrics, you go back and you listen to certain songs, and, you know, maybe a little juvenile, just like, you know, not the greatest lyrics, but great melodies, great musicianship. I love Dizzy Dean's melodies, and I love his voice. I love how he kind of can sing in the both voices, you know, Long Way to Love. He sings in a clear voice, and then he goes into a screech. And they're definitely different. They weren't trying to fit in with 80s bands. If you go back and you listen to like the debut, it really sounds like Kiss's Love Gun album or something like that, or it's got the AC/DC vibes and stuff like that. They're really not trying to be like Dokken or anybody like that. They're doing their own thing, so I give them a lot of credit. You know, this one kind of stalled out, right, with a sales wise Long Way to Love was great. Girls School did really well, and then Save the Week just was kind of goofy and weird. It kind of sounds like a commercial, and I don't think people understood it, and I don't think it really even got pushed at radio. But just a lot of great tracks. I love Kick and Fight, Fun in Texas, Hold On. I mean, the whole thing is good. So, great album, man. I love it.
You know, I love it when a plan comes together, because Britney is my number five.
Yeah, perfect.
It's perfect. So, dude, you hit on a lot of the same stuff I was going to talk about, but this album plays like a greatest hits to me almost, dude. Like, yeah. You just play it through, and you're like, okay, this one's good, this one's good, this one's good. But I got to say, just like Don't Close Your Eyes, I don't care for Save the Week.
Yeah, no.
So I'm glad we agree there, but... this is solid as shit, and I'm a dedicated Tommy Paris guy, but I must say that these first two albums are so freaking killer by Brittany Fox that I like them all. You know, just like I was saying prior, I can't decide with singer swaps sometimes, and I'm not gonna, but the guitar work's really good on this one, the diversity of songs. It plays smooth. Like I'm saying, the diversity of songs is there, but it's smooth. There's no hiccups in it at all.
Yep.
So, man, yep. I'm glad we've got it at number five, and it's killer.
Yeah, and Michael, glad you talked about the guitar playing, because Michael Kelly Smith, man, is a real talent, and he plays very melodically, and that's what was kind of missing from a lot of 80s bands. You know, we talked about Vinnie Vincent and his need to just shred a bunch of nonsense. That was not going on here. It's definitely like 70s influence playing, and it's very melodic and very good. So,
totally.
All right. Well, that's weird. Now I'm right back to me. I feel like I should be going to you, but we did the same thing. So this is weird. All right. Number five.
As time goes on, we've changed. And the only thing constant is change. You know, you got to keep rolling. But right now, I think if we had that same look as we did then, I think we'd be stepped on. I think someone would have stepped on us and went right over us. And we just keep rolling with the way we feel. And as long as we stay true to ourselves, I think
Poison.
We'll be around.
Open up and say ah. And, you know, I'm glad to be talking about this album on this one, because I want to say for a few years now, I've kind of been down on this album. And I've kind of looked at it like the debut's better. Flesh and Blood is even better. I like Native Tongue better. You know, maybe I'm in a minority by just what I just said, but I've been kind of down on this album, because I always felt like it had, this tends to happen on these first couple Poison albums, real strong ass singles, and then you get kind of to some like deep tracks that are just like, they're okay. Something like Good Love is okay, you know what I mean? But there's a couple of real killer songs on here that I always go back to. Love on the Rocks and Look But You Can't Touch, man. And those are great tunes. And you can't really discredit the singles, even though you're sick as hell of them. Nothing But a Good Time is a great tune. If you go back and listen to that like that's your first time hearing it, it's awesome. Fallen Angel is awesome. And so is Every Rose Has Its Thorn. It's cool production. And Poison is evolving. You're watching them evolve right before your eyes. You know, the first album is cool, but it's pretty raw, not 100% there. And they're getting better. You know, they're getting better songwriters, better musicians. So I'm warming up to this album again. I loved it in 88, and then I kind of lost it over the years, but I'm warming up to it again, man. I dig this album.
Well, I'll remain silent for now.
Okay, you remain silent. All right, so now we got to do your number four.
Carl's career live backstage with a hard rocking band, Lillian Axe, where they just got done kicking ass and smoking up the stage, opening up for Warlock and Crocus tonight. Here you guys are in Austin again. What's happening?
Good to see you, buddy.
All right. First of all, for all you ladies out there, let's get these gentlemen's names over here. On guitar, we've got
John Sturr.
And on lead vocals,
I'm Ron Taylor.
And we've got also lead guitar,
he's Stevie Blaze.
And on drums,
Danny King.
And on the bass guitar,
Rob Stratton.
And this is Lillian Axe, and we're live.
Cool. Here's what I got Lillian Axe self-titled.
Nice.
Can't deny Lillian. So, interesting. I was doing some research, and this is something I did not know before, but I was reading that Marshall Burrell had suggested that Janie Lane try to get with Steve Blaze.
Wow.
And get in what was going to be Lillian. Did you know this?
I did not know this.
Dude, I hope I'm not full of shit, because this is something that I feel like we would have or should have known by now. But there was this whole story about how Marshall Burrell said, I know this guy, Steve Blaze, Janie Lane, boom, 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 get together. Jenny Lane flew out, met him, spent some days together, thought they were really talented respectively, and then agreed that, hey, I'm already in Warrant. We're not signed yet or whatever. I think it's like 87 maybe. But things are happening, super dedicated, and I'm kind of the leader of the band. Boom, same thing with Steve Blaze. They said, you're a killer, let's shake hands and say good luck to one another. That's kind of the gist of the story I read.
Wow.
Now, I don't know, someone could disprove it, tell me I read something completely fake, I don't know. But I'm pretty shocked that I didn't know that story already. Wow. So, I don't know. But
my mind's blown.
Killer, I know, dude. I mean, but it would have been a really cool combo, right?
Yeah, it never would have worked based on what you said, because Lane was the main songwriter in Warrant. Blaze was the main songwriter in Lil Nas X. A probably cool project would have been nice, yeah. But I just think there would have been a massive power struggle. But maybe it would have created some killer music. Sometimes there's that headbutting, you know, that people always talk about, where it creates good music. So would have been interesting,
yeah.
No doubt. No
yeah,
doubt.
Pretty killer. So, but in terms of the album, the Rat Connection came later with Robin producing it. And again, I don't really... They kind of end there in terms of, like, the Robin connection. You never really hear stories about, like, how he was as a producer, I don't think, unless I miss something. I know you've interviewed some of the guys, but
yeah,
I never really gather how he was as a producer.
I think he was all he was all business, because I think Ron Taylor got into it a little bit, where like people used to say like, oh, Robin Crosby was so screwed up all the time on heroin and shit or whatever, but
yeah,
he said he wasn't like that at all. He was a great producer, had a good ear for music, and he was all business. So that was the only thing that Ron did say. So
that's killer. But yeah, in terms of the actual songs, Misery Loves Company, Dream of a Lifetime, Picture Perfect, Laughing in Your Face has always been a killer one for me. So yeah, dude, another one that you don't really turn off, and their first three are amazing, as you know.
Oh,
their
yeah.
first everything to you are amazing. I get it.
Yep. Yeah, this is no secrets. It's coming.
Yeah, okay. That's what I like.
Number four.
Y'all ready to get stupid? You ready to rock? You're in the right place. You're in the right place. Headed for a heartbreak. Winger!
Gotta go winger. Winger was like the dark horse, right? I forgot about Winger for some reason. I was thinking maybe I was thinking Winger came out in 89 or something like that. So
yeah.
Like, I had my list all done, and Poor Kicks just got kicked to the curb once my brain told me, dude, you can't forget Winger. And
no.
So almost forgot him, and here they are at number four. But, oh, jeez, man, what can you say about Winger? Just Kip's a great singer, great songwriter. The whole band is such a talent. It's a band that... that Bo Hill, when I talked to him, he said this is the most talented guys at every position. Morgenstein, Red Beach, Paul Taylor, Kip Winger. This is the best out of anybody I've worked with. And the dude's worked with everybody. Kane Roberts, Alice Cooper,
yeah,
freaking Rat, freaking Europe, you know, you name it. So he's worked with them all. And here he is saying that Winger's the best. So you know the musicianship's there. But they didn't overdo it. You know what I mean? They did it right.
No.
And that debut, man, is so good. Like, even the songs that you don't know. Like, well, first of all, there's four singles that were very big. We all know what they are. Madeline, 17, Hungry, and Headed for a Heartbreak. All cool songs. But then there's all these other songs, like Time to Surrender. Without the Knife, State of Emergency. It's just great stuff, man. I love that album. It definitely gets better with age, I think that album does. You know what I mean? So it's superb. Maybe should even be higher, but I'm putting it at four.
Dude, again, I still have to remain silent, and I love what you're saying.
All right. I feel like we're stealing each other's thunder on a few of these, you know, so...
No, dude, we got plenty to add. You know, we can talk about this shit forever.
That's cool. Right. That's right. Okay, we can do a whole episode just about the Winger debut.
I know we could.
All right, number three.
So here's where I got Poison.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, dude. It's funny. The two songs that you mentioned are the exact ones that I go to that aren't the singles. Yep. Love on the Rocks, yep, and Look But You Can't Touch.
Super cool song.
And, yeah, super killer songs. I do really like the singles still. This is one of those, yep, where Fallen Angel, Nothing But a Good Time, Every Rose. I don't care for Your Mama Don't Dance.
Right. I was going to say, that's the one you don't care for. Not many people do. I mean, take it or leave it. Sometimes I can tolerate it. Sometimes I can't.
I do like the breakdown, though, because it's kind of funny. And, like, the guys in the video are playing it up pretty killer. So it's a good video. I'll give them that. So it's funny because I remember reading in Metal Edge in, like, the late 80s magazines I have, this album is going to be called Swallow This. And the record company was like, oh, I don't think so. Like, we want to sell an album or two, so I don't think that's your best choice. Ironically, they put out the album cover, which they had to do the two black bars because it was too risque at the time.
So
you know what I mean?
Me and my wife were just talking about this the other day. It's like, how could this be offensive to anybody? It's so dumb.
Oh, gosh. I know. Isn't that crazy, the shit that's coming out?
They didn't do that to Gene Simmons on Lick It Up, just show his eyes.
Yeah, I know, dude. But, you know, as the years go on, I seldom go back to this album, but I must admit that this made a great impact on me when I was first getting into this stuff. Just like you were saying, like,
yeah,
this album, dude, this was my introduction to rockers being absolutely killer, like Brett and Vince. Like, mm-hmm, dude, they were complete enigmas, no pun intended. But their first three albums were great. Can't deny this. It did take that huge step up from album one to this one in terms of sound and look. But I must admit, 88 couldn't have been a more perfect year to be a member of Poison.
Yeah. You know, another thing, too, is I think that I forgot to mention, so it's great I can talk about it again, is that, you know, Poison was integrating a little bit more blues, too. Maybe not as much as Cinderella, but you're hearing a little bit more of the blues in here and the cowboy rock and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah,
and that would be something that they would just keep going to. And then obviously with Native Tongue, it would be at its peak. So Native Tongue and Heartbreak Station probably have a lot in common with each other. You know what I mean? That's where they kind of peaked with their blues stuff. So interesting.
Yeah, totally.
RoboCop, part man, part robot, all cop.
Drop it.
RoboCop and the Ultra Police, each sold separately. The only cops with rapid repeat cap firing.
Evil headhunter on the Skullhawk is cruising for trouble. RoboCop in his armored RoboCopter takes off after him. Fire RoboMissile. We'll give you a lift to jail.
You put RoboCopter together. RoboCop vehicles and figures with RoboCaps, each sold separately.
In God we trust.
Michael Sweet. Gentlemen, would you join me? And Michael, would you introduce me first to this gentleman over here?
On bass guitar, we got Mr. Timothy Gaines.
And the weary man on drums?
Robert Sweet, my brother.
And over on here?
This is Oz Fox.
Gentlemen, join in a little bit here. Come on.
All right, number three. This one was on my original 88 list, a little bit lower. It's kind of picked up some steam in my life, and it's Stryper, In God We Trust.
Nice.
I love this album. And I feel like I'm starting to like it more than ever because it's pretty poppy. You know what I mean? I think what it comes down to is that some people were swinging for the fences with the overproduction and the poppy stuff. And that's what Stryper was doing. You know, To Hell with the Devil was a big success. And Michael Sweet just flat out told me, he's like, that was big. So we tried to recreate it. And when you look at this album, it's structured very close to Hell with the Devil. The title track starts it. The third song or fourth song is the ballad. That was the second single. You know, they it's a formula. And it didn't work as good this time. I'm not really sure why, but it doesn't really matter. It's just a great album that I go back to. So many great songs. Obviously, the title track's a great one. Always There for You. That was on one of our big catchy episodes. That's a great,
yeah,
very happy song. What was their ballad?
Believe in You.
I Believe in You. Great ballad. But there's a better ballad that I like. It's called Lonely. They never released
right.
it, but it's a great song. Keep the Fire Burning, I think, was a single, but it wasn't a video. Really cool song. just a good vibe, man. Of course, they kind of have those heavy tracks too. They've got Writings on the Wall, and they've got The Rain that ends the album out. So they're still rocking pretty hard, but they're also being pretty catchy and poppy. Just a great album, man. It's like I said, it's a little bit more overproduced, but better production, I think, overall than To Hell with the Devil. But it's one of my faves.
Totally. And big budget, you know what I mean? Like,
oh,
they got so much momentum, and then they had this. I've always really liked this album cover. I thought it was simple but very creative. You know what I mean? Like, dude, if you could use something that literally everybody knows what it is and what it looks like, the $100 bill, and then stick your logo on it, and like, oh, brilliant. You know what I mean? Like, it was a great marketing touch. Huge budget. Those videos are super killer and huge, and they're dancing on the stage, the album cover stage. Yeah, man. Really good choice.
Yeah, it's great stuff. And, you know, you got to even give them credit for kind of bringing that out to the forefront, because it's something you see on the dollar bill, and God We Trust, but you just take it for granted. And a striper, they mean it. They live it. You know what I mean? So pretty cool, like, using that slogan as their album title and having a song called that. All right, number two.
Okay, we made a deal, you and I, way back when, that when I planned this list, if I got to consider this album Hairband, then you got to consider something else. I can't remember what.
A Hairband.
But I swear it's in writing. I put in Crocus Heart Attack as a Hairband in 88. Because
totally.
You show it to anybody and they'll say, Hairband. Now, you and I know Crocus ain't exactly a hairband, but pretty damn close on this album. But I will say, I could gush on this album many, many minutes, but I'll just keep it brief. This is where Crocus should have been in 86 when they released Change of Address, which was a complete, it was pretty much a big bomb. It pretty much killed their career. They switched to MCA Records on this one. And they changed their logo, and they got some old members back, and this and that, yada yada. But this is really good, hard Crocus a la Headhunter and One Vice at a Time and stuff like that. Stuff that will appeal to more of the metalhead guys. But check out the song Let It Go, Everybody Rocks, Rock and Roll Tonight, Wild Love. And then they did a really cool updated version of a song called Winning Man that was on their 81 album. And it's kind of like the Europe thing where they beefed it up from their early 80s stuff to make it kind of more Here I Go Again, Open Your Heart, this and that. Did a good job of it. But I know that there's people out there that don't really love Crocus, but they like this album, and I think you're one of them. So I had to incorporate it. Really cool album cover, and the guys look great, sounded great. It's not on Spotify, which pisses me off because I'd probably listen to it daily. But, you know, having the CD and the tape and the record and blah, 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 it just ain't good enough to not have it streaming.
Yeah, this was a cool album I remember from back in the day. And if you don't believe that they're swinging for the hair metal fences here, just listen to Let It Go, the single. And because, first of all, everybody's got to have a Let It Go song. You got Death Leopard, you got Loudness, and now you got Crocus. But that song, they're really doing it. Like, they're going with the formula there. So,
yeah, actually, I forgot to mention, I have that in my notes, how many bands have a Let It Go. And, you know, some of our favorites, you know, Crocus, Death Leopard, Loudness. I'm sure there's some others.
There's others,
there.
I'm sure. Yeah. But, you know, and you're right, with the look, you know, you could tell they were growing the hair out a little bit longer, especially the singer and stuff. He was trying to look like more like Paul Stanley. And the only thing that's really funny, man, I went back and I watched these videos recently, and it's like they're done on the same day in the same venue, but I think Mark there just changes his clothes to try to break it up, but it looks like there's two videos that were done in the exact same shoot. So, hey, man, they're on MCA Records, and the budget was tight.
Dude, their videos for this record are seriously like my three-year-old is holding a camcorder. Like, it is so bad. I'm so like, geez. Dude, these are killer songs. You're a major platinum-selling signed band. You're Crocus. You played at stadiums, and you got this camcorder from a shaky old man probably holding this thing. I couldn't believe how cheap that shit was.
Yeah,
but I will say also, have you seen those posters that have Lillian X opening for Crocus on this tour?
Yes.
That would have been a cool show.
Lillian X, yes. Okay. Number two, you talked about it. I don't think I'm going to have much to add.
I think what you're getting at is like the pressure after writing something after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was kind of a pressure in the beginning, but we got back to just the old ideas and started playing together. So things came together in this new album. I think it's more mature, a little more bluesy, and
mm-hmm.
we really like it.
You really? It's the way.
You're Out of This World. This album has really grown on me over the years. And I think kind of what you hit on, I could just sit and listen to this every song. I think when this really hit me was I had this on cassette, and I had a cassette player in my car maybe 4, 5, 6 years ago. And I would just listen to this like every day back and forth to work. And I was like, man, this is a good album. A couple songs that we did mention that I'll just throw out there is Sign of the Times, great song. And yeah. I really appreciate that last song where it's just piano and Joey singing. I think it's called Tomorrow. Wow.
Yeah, that's
pretty,
right.
That's pretty cool, man. That's kind of uncharacteristic of stuff that they do. But I'm always going to love Open Your Heart, too, man. I think that was so good. Let the Good Times Rock, Ready or Not. I mean, what can I say? It's just a well-written album, well-performed. And we've got the guitar work of Key Marcello on here. So that's I kind of prefer him over John Norum. A lot of people are probably booing at me right now, but I like that melodic stuff that he does, and he nails it on this one and Prisoners.
Oh, totally, dude. Did we mention that it's not on Spotify anymore? I can't remember if I brought that up.
Oh, I think we did on a past episode. We did, yeah. Is it still gone?
It's still gone, dude. I don't understand.
I got to bust out my cassette.
I know, dude. I don't know what's up with this.
This is bullshit. All right, man. This is it. I can't wait. Number one.
Oh, dude. If I could see how killer Kip is on the first note he screams on this album, I would. That won't shatter eardrums. Yeah. Right now. But I'm going to go ahead and say Winger is my hands down number one. Perfection never gets old. As the years go on, it only gets better. There's only one song I skip, and it's Purple Haze, and I think
Purple Haze.
But I crank all the album tracks. All the ones you said are so killer. What you didn't mention was Hanging On.
Yeah, I know, and you're big into that one. I saved it for you. I saved it.
Thank you. I know you know that I love it. And that's my hands-down favorite of the album tracks, State of Emergency, Poison Angel,
yep.
And the ballads are great. So the intro to Madeleine is like one of the best ways to kick off an album I've ever heard. And, dude, how about that guitar solo on 17? That thing just absolutely shreds when it breaks down, dude. So everything about this band, this album, I still crank it through and through. And their whole catalog, dude, they just rule. So I had to throw Winger. Oh, and also trivia, I'm sure people know it by now, but you ever notice on your album Sahara on there?
Yep.
It was supposed to be called Sahara, but they just did a Winger self-titled, which is probably a good move.
Yeah,
but yeah, if you look on the artwork, it's written on there Sahara.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you got it, man. I think the band was supposed to be called Sahara, right?
Oh, okay. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. And then they opted for Winger. But I think Winger is the way to go. Even though Winger's kind of a weird name, it worked.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Number one. No shock here. Lillian X, self-titled. I can't help it, man.
Attaboy.
What can I say? Pretty much you said it all. You know, it's just a band that is just underappreciated, totally got robbed, needed to be on a bigger label. You know, just great stuff. Misery Loves Company is always going to be one of my favorites. And Nobody Knows. If these guys were on a decent label, Nobody Knows would have been a single. And that song, just go back and listen to it. It's so ahead of its time. It's not your typical I Love You, You Broke My Heart ballad. It is about kind of like being down in the dumps and nobody gets it. It's a little deeper than your typical power ballad, and it's catchy as hell. It's just a great song. And the thing that makes all these songs, there's two major components, and they're not to discredit any of the other members, but the voice of Ron Taylor and the guitar playing of Steve Blaze, it's really all you need, man. I mean, because if you notice, there's other albums where some of these guys are interchangeable. And no discredit to the rest of them, because they're all talents that are on different albums. But these are the guys that kind of flew the flag for the band. Great stuff, man. Just great stuff. I'm trying to think of some other ones that I really like. You mentioned Laughing in Your Face. That's one of my favorites. Hard Rock. Vision in the Night. It's just Picture Perfect. I don't know, man. What's the song where they're bitching about the... see, I should have took some notes. What's the song?
Is it Misery Loves Company?
Inside Out. Oh, I love Inside Out. Yeah. They're kind of talking about the press kind of twisting things around. And not, it's kind of like they were talking fake news before it was even fake news. So Lillian Axe, man, way ahead of their time. Great band. And the last point I want to make is that listen to Waiting in the Dark. There was no band in 88 that was doing music like this. This is like your epic song that tells a story about a man who's getting to the end of his life, you know? And it's like I said, there's some kind of deep stuff on here compared to what other bands were doing. But just a great band, ahead of their time, super talents. That's my number one.
I wouldn't expect anything less, and I preach it.
Yeah.
Great number one.
So what do you got for your honorables? What did we miss?
Yeah, dude. Well, you know, had this not been a strictly hair band, I would have obviously had AC/DC on there.
Yeah, of course.
And Priest, and Queensryche, and Scorps. Those Scorps were kind of qualified. You had them on your last list, and they kind of qualify. A band called Sword. They're a Canadian band. Stage Doll, Rat, Hurricane, Prophet. It was Cycles of the Moon, I believe. It was the band Ted Poley was in before he went to Danger Danger. Yngwie, Jamoles had a good one. They had their debut. LA Guns, Black and Blue, band called Britain, Bullet Boys, Fraley's Comet, and King Cobra 3.
Yeah, you mentioned all the ones that I think a lot of the ones I had on my other list. I'm kind of bummed that I didn't put Rat Reach for the Sky. That's usually a go-to. I'm kind of surprised. But like I said, you could spin this thing different ways. You know, I love Ram It Down. A couple straight-up metal ones that I love that I didn't put on. Actually, three would be Operation Mindcrime, Man of War, Kings of Metal, and Yngwie Odyssey. Yngwie Odyssey was my number one on my first 88 list, but you know, maybe not hair metal enough, and I kept it off. I stand by this list. I really like it that we did tonight, and man, always a pleasure, man. We killed it.
All right, man. Well, you have a good night, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, take care.
Yep, bye.
So sorry, everyone. We've got to go back to 2024.